Welcome to the FantasyGuru.com Franchise Focus Podcast. Now here's Matt Kemp, Joe Dolan, and Tom Brawley.
It's time for another edition of the Franchise Focus Podcast here at FantasyGuru.com. Matt Kemp, Joe Dolan, and Tom Brawley with you as we move our way up from the bottom of the first round and right around that halfway point, getting into the top half of the draft. This week, you've already heard us talk about the Chiefs, the Chargers, the Texans, the 49ers, and that brings us to the Miami Dolphins. And we'll take your questions on the Dolphins, if you have any, and if you want to get any questions in for future podcasts or responses to these podcasts, use the hashtag FranchiseFocus and send them to us at FantasyGuruSite, at the Matt Kemp, at FG underscore Dolan, at FG underscore Brawley, and we will certainly address them on future programs as well. And guys, before we get into that, we got to let you know that FanDuel's rolling because MLB season is in full swing, and you don't want to wait another day. Sign up now to play one-day fantasy baseball at FanDuel.com. The leader in one-day fantasy baseball for real money with immediate cash payouts. Entry fees start at just $1. And you don't have to wait 6 months to win a league. You can play today and win tonight. You can pick a brand new team any day you want. No season-long commitment and no upfront fees. Now, Joe, if you're playing to win, you know, you're looking for the best values. You're trying to take a look at what the best dollar amounts are, maybe guys that are hot. But another kind of fun thing, because I think we get away from the fun of fantasy sometimes, is you've never had a player on your team. Maybe you did a bunch of drafts and missed out on a player you wanted to get. You can always get that guy in your lineup on FanDuel.
And the great part about playing early in the season is that there's some guys who are struggling at this stage. Giancarlo Stanton not even hitting 150. Maybe the price hasn't risen so much that it becomes prohibitive to use that player. You can use that player if you think tonight is the night he's going to break out.
Well, we've already had some big winners, and you look back to opening day. Duncan S. in Brooklyn won over $700 on opening day alone. You want to get part of that? You should. Do it right now, because FanDuel is paying out more than $2.5 million every single day this MLB season. So go to FanDuel.com and click on the microphone in the upper right-hand corner. Use our code GURU and sign up now. Here's the special offer for new users. For every dollar you deposit, FanDuel will match it with up to $200 that gets earned as you play. That's a bonus of up to $200. Offer is only good for the first 50 people that use our code GURU. Don't forget to use our code GURU. FanDuel.com, where every day is a new season. That's FanDuel.com. FanDuel.com. Sign up today. Well, earlier this week, guys, we talked about the San Francisco 49ers and how we're not really pumped about them. I think we go in the other direction when it comes to the Miami Dolphins. And not only for what they had, but I think now coming out of so far what they've done up till this point with the draft still ahead of us, we've been pretty excited with their offseason. Obviously, the Ndamukong Suh signing was a big deal. That was the big money deal, but they trade Mike Wallace away. They trade for Kenny Stills. They also bring in Jordan Cameron to replace Charles Clay, who ends up signing with the Buffalo Bills. And I like the moves they made. And, you know, as we're recording this podcast here in mid-April, talk now that they want to get a deal done, an extension done with Ryan Tannehill, which we believe makes all the sense in the world. And let's start with him, because
I'm not even confident that's news, Matt, to be honest
Doesn't it make sense? I mean, we've seen guys like Dalton get, you know, not the monster deal that
makes sense.
But, I mean, Dalton get that deal. Jay Cutler get
we
money.
We had debates about Dalton and Cutler.
And Kaepernick. I don't think there's any debate about Tannehill.
Here.
This is a home run.
Yeah, and this is, to me, this is almost as just fait accompli as an Andrew Luck extension or a Russell Wilson extension. It is going to happen.
He's not in that Luck stratosphere. He's not going to get there, I don't think, at any point in time, but I mean, he could be Matt Ryan, can't he, for the rest of his career, if not a little better, possibly?
Tier of quarterback, yeah.
But in that area. But that's what I'm saying. I mean, that's a guy you'd want to have leading your team for the next 10 years, without a doubt.
Ryan Tannehill, as he stands now, is what, one of the 5 or 10 most valuable trade assets in the NFL?
Because of his contract.
If they were to trade him.
Yeah. He's young.
And let's remove contract from it. Is Ryan Tannehill off the board if you do a fantasy draft? The NFL disbands every team and does a fantasy draft to build up every team. Is he one of the first 5-10 picks off the board.
I think he's one of the first.
First 10, yeah.
First 10 quarterbacks, yeah. Look, thought that way, yes.
And I'm not telling you the guy's perfect.
I don't think he's a finished product yet
he's
either.
He's not luck. No. And you know what? I don't even know if you put him on the same tier as Russell Wilson at this point, but I'd be interested to see what Tannehill would look like or how he would be talked about if he flipped places with Russell Wilson at this stage of his career. Because I think you can argue the Seahawks would be just as good, if not better, with Tannehill.
I think a big help last year was the fact that they went to Bill Lazor. And well, no more of the Mike.
Offensive.
They had someone who could take advantage of Ryan Tannehill. And here's the thing. He didn't even have to be all that creative. They actually had to just attempt to run the football with a young quarterback, and they did. And they let Tannehill, they designed some plays to take advantage of his athleticism.
I don't think, when people talk about the Chip Kelly offense, and that's what Bill Lazor runs. Bill Lazor runs heavy, heavy elements of the Chip Kelly offense.
Well, run the football.
He only coached under him 1 year, but he became a disciple. He's like, this works.
It works.
It works. And I don't think Chip Kelly's out there, like Picasso, designing things that are off kilter and out of whack and just really fascinating to look at. He just kind of designs things that work.
It didn't have to look all that much more creative compared to what it was. It wasn't like, oh, look at all these amazing things they're doing. No.
How about,
their offense is boring as hell. They didn't try to run the football, and they didn't protect their quarterback.
How about space? Yeah. That's all you need. Space. And look, Ryan Tannehill, the best year of his career, Tom.
Yeah, and now he has two weapons that I think arguably make their offense a little bit better with Jordan Cameron and Kenny Stills. I mean, the one knock on Tannehill at this point in his career is he can't throw a deep ball. And that is about the only thing
that's accurate deep ball,
that's really holding him back from being a high-end fantasy guy and franchise guy. I mean, you look at the numbers. He finished behind Alex Smith in yards per attempt. I mean,
yeah, that's bad. You're right.
That's nearly impossible to do.
And
Alex Smith, who couldn't throw a touchdown pass, can't throw a ball over 15 yards, and you finish behind Alex Smith in yards per attempt.
Yet he finished 13th at the position in fantasy points per game. And I think that's why we get excited, because I still think there's room for improvement here. Second year, you go into your fourth year now for Tannehill, and I still think, okay, do you have a pretty good idea what he is? Yes. I think we know how good he can be. I don't think the ceiling is that much higher, but I do think the ceiling is still there to be reached for Ryan Tannehill. He's a really good player, as we've seen. But as we've talked about, guys, with a young quarterback, he's getting better each year. That's all you want to see. And it's tough. You can kind of see maybe get lost in the shuffle at times.
It's like the opposite of Colin Kaepernick. And the problem with a guy like Ryan Tannehill is he's going to be inevitably compared at some point to Andrew Luck, who was drafted in the same draft. And Andrew Luck was the best quarterback prospect to come along in 15 years. And Andrew Luck, for the most part, has played like the best quarterback prospect to come along in 15 years. Ryan Tannehill is a guy who wasn't really a full-time quarterback till he was 19, 20 years old. And the fact that he only was really just learning the position at a high level at Texas A&M after coming in as a receiver, it almost makes it more impressive.
Yeah, he was the 11th overall pick, but he was still kind of an unknown. He was kind of flew under the radar, and he's kind of flown under the radar in Miami here the last few years. But getting the tying the progress to fantasy here, he's making progress every year, getting a little bit better. That's a guy you want to buy in on for fantasy. A guy that could take another step forward. So that's a guy, you target at the end of the, as a QB1 in that 10-13 range.
And he finished 13 last year, 21.7. But here's the keys. His completion percentage has gone up every year, to the point that it hit 66.4 last season. That's sixth in the league. That is a number I love to see from a young quarterback. His yards have gone up every single season, threw for over 4,000 last year. His touchdowns from 12 to 24 to 27. How about his interceptions? 13 to 17 and back down to 12 last year. And here was the nice bonus and probably what pushed him to that low starting caliber quarterback, 317 yards on the ground on 55 rushes, had a touchdown there. So he finished with 21.7 fantasy points per game. Not an outstanding number, but you know what? I think we came into last year hoping that he'd probably get into that range. I don't think we expect him to get to the top six, but we'd hope he would get into that range.
And if he's 13 this last year, now you just hope that maybe he cracks that top 10.
And by the way,
he's making that progress. Where's he getting drafted among the QBs?
At 21.7, He was just 0.2 behind Eli Manning, who was at 10. So he's right there.
And by the way, that's in a league that doesn't dock for turnovers. So, correct. And I know Eli was better in that department, but he's always a guy.
Well, 14 for Eli and 12 for Tannehill. So, but I love that the numbers – there's good numbers here. The fact that everything has gone forward, everything has moved up, the fact that he threw just 12 interceptions, the fact that his completion percentage has gotten better, and he was one of the best in football last year. Although, as you mentioned, Tom, not throwing the ball downfield too much.
If he would ever start to throw a deep ball with any consistency, the guy could be a top five guy.
That's a mechanics thing. Yeah. Because
he's got the arm to do so. Yeah. It's accuracy downfield.
He completed 66% of his passes last year. So he can throw the ball accurately. He has a good arm. So it's not like he can't throw the ball a long way. It's just a mechanic thing on the deep ball.
Mechanic and timing.
At this point, do you wonder if it's ever going to get better? Sure. And that's a very fair concern.
But it hasn't gotten any better in 4 years. That is the one area where he has not made any progress.
Fantasy players are buying in. In NFL 10s, in the early going, Tannehill's coming off the board. Around the 106th pick.
That sounds like a pretty good bargain.
Okay, so that's ninth round, but...
That's okay.
11th quarterback overall. So people are drafting him as a starter. He's going right behind Ben Roethlisberger and Matthew Stafford. That's one we can talk about. And right ahead of Tony Romo and Eli Manning.
I expected that. I expected him to be ahead of Romo.
That's here. And you know what? It's hard for me to say.
I'd take him over Stafford.
I think I'd take him over Stafford. But it's hard for me to say that that's an outrageous spot for him to be going either way.
I think that's pretty fair right there. I thought he'd be going a little bit lower, but that's fair. Now, the running helps him, and I think that will continue. And not to the point that we're going to start thinking of him like Cam or Russell Wilson.
He does enough, though.
He's got that Rodgers kind of capability to him where, okay, now they might call a little bit more for him here and there, but I think he's got that athleticism. You go, all right, we got a third and five here. Nobody's open. I'll go get us eight. He can go do that, and I don't think it's the primary part of his game, like with Rodgers, like with Luck. You know you can kind of get that bonus. You're not banking on it. Neither should the team. He's not that kind of player, but you know it's there, and that's a nice little bonus for fantasy, and it puts him ahead of guys that are in that tier like Romo, like Eli, like Rivers, guys like that.
And I don't think the rushing production last year was outrageous.
No.
And,
you know, 317, good number.
If he ran for about 475 and five touchdowns, we'd be sitting here talking, don't feel great about that. But he did. What? He only had one touchdown.
Yeah, he was fifth in quarterback rushing last season.
Fifth in rushing, one touchdown. So I don't think those are numbers that he is going to find difficult to replicate. Yeah.
I mean, look.
He can definitely get to that 475 mark in any given season with the way he runs.
You know, Rodgers at 269, right behind Tannehill, and Luck was at 263. I think that's where you want him to be, right around that 250 to 300 area. I think that would be fine.
That's where the Dolphins are going to want him to be. Now, Lazor's going to run some read option elements.
Right.
As a matter of fact, the irony here being that Lazor has adopted the Chip Kelly offense, and he instantaneously inherits a quarterback who's a better fit for it than anybody Kelly has had up to this point.
Now,
there's a reason why they brought in Lazor, because the Dolphins thought they could use some of those implements.
So he went from last year having guys like Mike Wallace, Jarvis Landry obviously stepped up there. They had Charles Clay, but the big two changes here is Wallace is now in Minnesota. They traded for Kenny Stills. Charles Clay, who I really think has been Tannehill's best friend the last 2 years, and I think he's a big reason why Charles Clay got all the money he did from the Buffalo Bills. Charles Clay gets replaced by Jordan Cameron. Now, let's start there before we get into the wide receivers, because I think as it stands right now, my favorite offseason move for fantasy is Jordan Cameron coming to the Miami Dolphins. And people jumped on me on Twitter for saying that. Well, if he's got to stay on the field, I know he's got to stay on the field. I know he's got the concussion issues. I get that. But from a talent standpoint, this guy is a top five tight end. There's no doubt about that. And now he gets to play with a good quarterback. He is not dealing with the crap he has to deal with in Cleveland. And I think he really takes this offense to the next level. I know Stills and Wallace, there are some fair comparisons there. Is it going to be a big step up from Wallace? Probably not. But I think Cameron is what really makes the step up here for this offense and could be great for Tannehill's numbers.
I'd argue about Kenny Stills, but we'll get to that. Jordan Cameron, the issue being, of course, is Ryan Tannehill is going to be better as a quarterback than anything he's ever had in Cleveland. The issue is Ryan Tannehill.
Far better.
Ryan Tannehill can't cure concussions, unfortunately. And every discussion about Jordan Cameron is going to have to boil down to that. I hate the fact that we have to talk about this in fantasy, a guy's mental health, his brain injuries with regards to fantasy, but that is what we do. And Jordan Cameron is a guy who could be a hit or two away from having to retire from the NFL. And I love the fit as a talent, and I'm praying that Jordan Cameron can avoid falling victim to concussions.
How are people feeling about Cameron in drafts?
This is seventh tight end off the board.
Okay, so that might be a little rich for me.
Here's what people are doing. Remember, Charles Clay wasn't in that range.
But that format makes sense to take Cameron there.
But if I'm taking Cameron around that spot, seventh, eighth, ninth tight end, I have to take another tight end near that spot just as backup, as
insurance.
I feel
like I'm taking a Dwayne Allen or Walker or somebody like that.
You have to get a solid tight end.
Seven round strong. It's fair. I know what you're saying.
93.8 average pick. Makes him an eighth round pick. I think that's about where he goes.
Oh, all right.
I want to point this out, that there is a huge drop off from the sixth tight end to the seventh.
Who is six?
Six is Martellus Bennett, and there's almost a two full round drop off between Bennett and Cameron. Yep. And Cameron and Zach Ertz are basically tied.
But I agree with Matt. He's a top five guy. If he stays on the field 12 or 13 games. Yeah. He'll be a top five guy, as you said, Tom, a
clear upgrade at quarterback. Yes. But now we talk about Kenny Still. So you think Still is a serious upgrade over Mike Wallace?
I believe he's a serious upgrade.
I feel like he's been one of the more underrated wide receivers the last couple.
I just don't know if I've seen enough of him.
That's my thing. They haven't featured him enough.
All right, but he also got to play with Drew Brees. Yeah. So I think that's a knock against him.
You know how we feel about the Saints in terms of fantasy.
Sure.
An overthinking team that really limits our ability to trust anyone. Kenny Stills, listen to some of these numbers. 76.8% catch rate.
Yep.
Only one receiver who had a significant number of targets had a higher catch rate. That was Wes Welker, who thrives next to the line of scrimmage. You might as well be handing the ball off to him. Only one wide receiver. So Wes Welker is the only wide receiver who caught a higher percentage of his targets. Wes Welker also averaged, guys, only 7.37 yards per target, nearly 4 full yards fewer per target than Kenny Stills averaged. Only two receivers in the entire NFL, DeSean Jackson and Martavis Bryant, averaged a higher yards per target number than Kenny Stills. And each of those receivers failed to catch 60% of their targets. So Kenny Stills is third in yards per target and was catching 77% of the balls thrown his way. Now, obviously, there is a little bit of a
function of the
offense, a conjunction there as well, because if he caught a fewer percentage, then by nature he's averaging fewer yards per target. But
that tells you he's catching everything that's thrown to him. He's making plays down the field, and he's making plays when he catches the ball.
And he got better in the second half of last season, too.
So he's dominating in all three areas of the field.
Where he's making plays is in the intermediate range and
downfield.
But he's a better fit than Wallace, because I think he's a better route runner than Wallace.
Exactly. Yeah. He can do intermediate. Wallace is just doing stuff in the underneath.
They tried to do that with Wallace.
And there's obviously questions about Wallace's effort at times, which we saw and got him benched. Whether he says it or not, he was pretty easy to ship away.
He's worked his way out of two organizations.
Here's what's interesting, though. Because Stills also has a reputation of being a pain in the ass as well. And so you bring in another pain in the ass to replace one, but this pain in the ass, in theory, will function better with Ryan Tannehill.
And as I said, he finished the second half of last season pretty strong. I mean, that's a big part to me, is that you saw him start to come on and go, hey, wait a minute, is Kenny Stills the best receiver in New Orleans? That was a question we had, a fair question at some point last season. You know, Graham had his issues, I get that, but Colston was a guy, you're going, and then they ship him off, which is kind of weird, but the Dolphins will reap those benefits. So two big additions here with those guys, and then we have to talk about Jarvis Landry, and where does he fit? Because Hartline's gone here, Brandon Gibson's gone. Jarvis Landry, I thought at times, you could argue he was the number one wide receiver, maybe not, you know, prototypically or anything like that, but there was a time where he was more reliable than Mike Wallace. Where does he fit in this offense, though, going forward? When you add Stills, you add Cameron, what is Landry's role here going forward?
And I don't think it really changes that much.
Is it a big enough one, though? I think the bigger key here, where does he fit for fantasy? Does he have a strong fantasy value at all?
I don't see his role changing very much. He's going to dominate snaps out of the slot. Tannehill has shown over the first couple years of his career, he loves throwing the guys out of the slot. He's almost a virtual lock for 80 to 90 catches.
I mean, he had
84
last year on 111 targets, an impressive nearly 76% catch rate, 758 yards. That's a very low number, 5 touchdowns. He was the number 35 receiver. My question is, is he getting to 25? I don't think he's going that high.
I think he could.
I think he's 30
at best.
And
if he gets any
best.
Better after the catch, I mean, but that's
PPR.
The thing. Is he going to get better
after
the catch?
Well, look, I mean, he averaged 10 or more yards per catch just 4 times this season. So this is the guy who, in my opinion, could be the biggest discrepancy between PPR and not.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
And
I would agree
look,
with that.
And here's another guy. We discussed this with Jordan Matthews in the Philadelphia podcast. Have the Dolphins made some changes at receiver? Absolutely. But why would you change Jarvis Landry's role?
He's staying out of the slot.
This is a guy who was almost exclusively a slot receiver last year.
77.1% of those snaps out of the slot.
According to Pro Football
Yes,
Focus?
That's right.
Okay,
yeah.
That's great. Why would that change? Now, maybe you move him outside a little bit more, but this is a guy who I think Miami will be making a mistake if he's playing more than half of his snaps outside of the slot.
I think my question is more about his fantasy role value. Yeah. I don't think it jumps that significantly because I think you've now added a upgrade at tight end, and I think it's fair to say that there is an upgrade somewhat with Stills over Wiles. You guys think it's a little more than I do, but there's upgrades here at other spots. Although, to be fair, on Landry's behalf, he kind of worked his way in.
Yeah.
He wasn't there from day one, so there is something to be built in there.
He caught 84 passes, and he wasn't really even a factor until week 9.
From
week
9 on, if I have this right here, from week 9 on, he went 59-503-4. So you saw a big jump when he found a bigger role.
80-90 catches might be on the low end for this guy. He could easily be a 100-catch guy.
Would it surprise you guys if I told you that he was 9th at wide receiver in yards after the catch?
I would be surprised by that somewhat.
He's 9th.
Especially with the yards that he put up.
5 yards behind Julian Edelman. Behind Alshon Jeffrey, Jordy Nelson, Jeremy Maclin, Julio Jones, Randall Cobb, Antonio Brown, Demaryius Thomas, and Golden Tate.
And you know what?
Only receivers who had more yards after the catch.
With Tannehill's issues throwing downfield, that's an important trait to have as a receiver
Jarvis
in this offense.
Landry.
He averaged 6.83 yards per target. Oh my God, he must have been catching the ball 2 yards off the line of scrimmage.
Let me just do some quick math, okay? Jarvis Landry's average yards at the catch.
Okay.
3.75. Oh
yeah, that number's ridiculous.
Because he had 443 yards after catch. These are ESPN's numbers. And 758 total receiving yards. I mean, there's running backs catching the ball farther downfield than Jarvis Landry. This guy is fascinating. Because, I mean, at that point, you have to be good after the catch to make progress with that. 3.75 yards at the catch. I mean, holy crap.
Now, we're excited about this offense for the names we've talked about. Tannehill, the additions of Cameron and Stills, and, of course, Jarvis Landry here. But a big jump last year for the offense that helped things. How about they actually ran the football and they actually stuck with Lamar Miller? Now, I know it was no Sam Moreno out of the gate, but he got banged up a couple times and at the ACL, he was done. But it was Miller pretty much the rest of the way. He fit the offense well. And I know, Joe, you'll talk about that a little bit here. But the numbers, 216 for 1099, 5.1 yards per carry, 8 touchdowns, 38 catches on 51 targets, 275 there, had a touchdown through the air, played in all 16 games, averaged 14.3 fantasy points per game to rank him as the number 4 running back. This is what I think you guys, I wasn't as high on him a couple years ago, but this is what we were hoping for 2 years ago, and they just didn't commit to him or running the football at all, which didn't make any sense with a young quarterback. Laser comes in, and they figure things out, and he fits this offense here, Joe, and I think he still has some room to improve, and he's going to be the guy from day one.
Here's the thing I kind of like about Lamar Miller. He was a very productive, pretty consistent fantasy back. You were probably drafting him as a low 2, high 3.
After he disappointed,
If that, he didn't really have any ridiculous games that buoyed his final line. This was a guy who was consistently in like the 15 to 20 PPR point range. And as a matter of fact, guys, he didn't even top 30 points once. And I actually kind of like that because it shows me that if they don't add somebody who's a serious threat, now you have to point this out. I believe they had Stephen Ridley visit.
They've looked at guys.
They have looked at guys, yeah. But they're losing D'Angelo, Sean Moran.
Yep.
Only four times all year in a PPR did Lamar Miller go under 10 fantasy points. That's pretty good.
And his best two games of the season were his final two games of the season. So if you look at 2014 and then look ahead to 2015, it's kind of like what I talk about with touchdowns. When I see a guy finish high without scoring a lot, as you said, he didn't have any monster games. Obviously, 26 in week 16, 92 yards and a touchdown on the ground, 5 for 58. And then in week 17, 19 for 178 with a touchdown. Those are two big games, but he didn't have a lot of those. So you see a lot of consistency here and the fact that he will be the guy from day one, we hope.
And he was the lead back, but they never really truly used him totally like a lead back. Like, if they ever decided to flip that
ramp
switch
it up.
On, because he had only one game with 20-plus carries and only three games with 20-plus touches. If they ever decide to flip that light switch on and, like, give him 20 carries a game, you know, say he
here
gets
and there.
Eight times in
right,
a season,
right.
He could easily vault into the top five of fantasy running backs.
Here's another irony here. Wouldn't Lamar Miller be the type of back who Chip Kelly would have loved to have?
Yeah.
Climb out, put your foot in the ground, go. He's one of those guys, Greg Cosell likes to describe him as, he's not a power back because he doesn't have the functional strength, but he's a determined runner. Like,
he's trying to get all those yards.
He's tough, but he's not going to run you over. He just doesn't have that frame. But outstanding vertical explosion. He's not somebody who's going to dance you out of a phone booth, but he is going to pick up the yards that are blocked for him, and lo and behold, they blocked him for him this year. He had room to run. The natural spacing of the offense was a function for him. And, hey, look, he averages 5 yards a carry.
Yeah, he's definitely a guy, if I go receiver first round, and they don't do anything significant at running back in the draft or even after the draft, he's a guy I'm going to be targeting end of the second round, early third round.
As we get into the draft talk, though, with the fact that they were interested in Ridley and D'Angelo Williams, it does seem like they don't like what's behind him, and they want to have somebody behind him.
Williams. They do like Damian Williams a little bit.
But as a number two.
He's not a straight man. He's a receiver type. He's a receiver.
Wait a minute. Hold on, guys. Is Daniel Thomas gone?
I believe the coast is clear there.
There's still a chance he could come back.
Oh,
Michael James re-signed for 2 years.
They did cut him last year and bring him back.
Well, Michael James doesn't worry me. It's a special
No, right,
team,
I know.
Right?
I would say that I wouldn't
this.
Be surprised if they tried to get an upgrade at the number two spot.
I hate to say this. They kind of have a need there.
And, no, I do.
No, that's
what
they do.
If
they've
they
made
draft
it clear.
A running back in the first three rounds, I'd be like, oh, no.
I'm hoping for more of a day three kind of guy. And I think they do need that. They need a number two, a
Gillislee
legit backup.
Was a guy who
they don't have a backup right now. They don't have a guy. They go, okay, if he goes down, we're going to that guy.
Yeah,
they don't have
Williams
that now.
He's a Reggie Bush. Or, you know, he's just a receiving type back.
Hasn't happened for James. Yeah.
And I will tell you this as well, and this is going to drive you nuts, because we just spent time giving Jarvis Landry and Kenny Stills love. They need help at receiver. They have
I think they like that Hazel kid and
like
Rashard Matthews a little bit more, and they want to. I think they have Gibson and Hartline, who are nobodies.
Phrase that wrong. I think they have depth guys. I don't know if they have. I don't know if they have like a real X.
That was my thought. With
they were looking at Crabtree.
Right.
So,
I think that's a spot for them, which is great for Tannehill. Now, other than that, the O-line still needs work. I mean, they patched some things together. It was better than it was.
They signed Pouncey to a big extension.
Right, they gave him that deal.
You know, I'm just struggling with this team because they did so much, and they always do a lot.
Yeah, they seem to make splashes.
And this year, I think the moves make more sense than the moves they've made in the years past, but ultimately, you've got to get better than 8-8 at some point, or Joe Philbin. Joe, this is it. This is it.
Oh,
for Philbin.
It's on Philbin now. Well, here's the thing: you play in a division with one of the best, most consistently great teams in football in New England, so you have to make bigger moves.
You know what? As we stand right here on paper, this might be the best division of all. Football.
I would think so. Yes, as it stands right now,
because you have
from top to bottom
only one playoff team from last year. You've got Miami's got a good D.
Jets
have a good D. Buffalo's got an elite D.
New England's D, which was pretty darn good, has taken steps back.
What is the advantage Miami has over Buffalo, New York? Quarterback position.
Yes.
So Tannehill's got to step this up. And I understand, and this is where I'm saying, I don't want to act like I'm telling you Ryan Tannehill's the top five quarterback in the NFL. I just think he's progressing nicely, and the things he's done have been very good. But at some point, he has to be the difference maker. He's got to be the guy who's going to take them over the Jets and the Bills. Because as we stand right now, I think this division puts two teams in the playoffs. It's just a matter of what two teams they are. And I think you can make a case for any of them.
Going to be a lot of fun to watch this team, I think, in 2015. Will they make a step up from 8-8? I think they will. I think we all think they will. And could be pretty darn good for fantasy as well. We certainly like that. So there's our look at the Miami Dolphins heading into 2015 and the draft. We're rolling right along here with these Franchise Focus podcasts. And a reminder once again that MLB season is in full swing, and you want to get involved with it with FanDuel.com. Entry fees start at just $1. Stop waiting 6 months to win a league. Play today, win tonight. There's none of that season-long commitment. And, Tom, when you get into this and you get into FanDuel, and we're now into the second full week of the season, things haven't necessarily adjusted yet with some of these price tags and maybe guys getting off to a slow start. Maybe some guys have been banged up and guys you didn't expect to get in the lineup are getting in the lineup, and maybe they can cost you pennies. You could take advantage of that early in the season.
Yeah, you can still find very good values out there. And even if, you know, even if a guy has started slow the last week and you've seen some signs that he's going to turn it around, maybe you can get a little value on those guys that are off to slow starts and their values have dipped a little bit too.
Some people made big money on opening day, like John L. in Boston. He won $639 on opening day alone, and that's because FanDuel is paying out more than $2.5 million every single day this MLB season. But you have to play to win, so sign up today. Go to FanDuel.com and click on the microphone in the upper right-hand corner. Use our code GURU and sign up now. Special offer for new users. Here it is. For every dollar you deposit, FanDuel will match it with up to $200 that gets earned as you play. That's a bonus of up to $200. Offer is only good for the first 50 people that use our code GURU. Don't forget to use our code GURU. FanDuel.com, where every day is a new season. That's FanDuel.com. FanDuel.com. Sign up today. We're working our way towards the top of the draft order. We'll finish up with the Buccaneers next week. We'll have another set of podcasts for you. We still got the Saints coming up this week, the Browns, the Vikings, and the Rams. Will lead all the way up to the Buccaneers, and you'll have a whole week to digest these before the NFL draft at the end of April. Speaking of the end of April, you can get in right now at FantasyGuru.com on our early bird special, $24.95, $5 cheaper than our regular price. And it's the NFL offseason, but we have all kinds of stuff going up. Besides these podcasts, the guys at the Pre-Draft Rookie Report, you can check out two podcasts from John Hanson and Greg Cosell, the Pre-Draft Rookie Report podcast and the Post-Free Agency podcast. So a lot more coming your way. We are working on the profiles for the season right now. You'll see more of those coming up, especially once the draft's over. We'll really dive into those. The Post-Draft Rookie Report will come out, and that'll clear a lot of things up because we know where guys will be playing in 2015. So a lot of stuff you can catch up on at $24.95. You only have till the end of April to do so, so act now. For Joe Dolan and Tom Brawley, I'm Matt Camp. Thanks for listening to another edition of the Franchise Focus Podcast right here at FantasyGuru.com.